as we talk of the evil one, we want to express above all else our love to you. And even now as we go on to share the reality of Satan and what he is in the world today, be pleased, Lord, to protect and guard and overrule. And this prayer we ask through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was talking outside with a young lady, Patty Thomas, and she's from Africa. Her folks and missionaries. My son was in Ethiopia for 18 years. And she was sharing with me what I know myself, the reality of demons and Satan. And as she said, some people think you're joking when you talk about these things. But that isn't so. Come here, Patty. Whatever you are, my dear, that's right. She's wanted to go back there to the Amazon jungle. We'll crown you. There you go. I'm going to ask you some questions and you can get going.
Okay. Well, this is an experience for me because I'm very shy, and
I'll hold you up like this, and you'll be all right.
But I was talking to our speaker, and I know the reality of demons because I've grown up around them. And my mother was sharing with me when I came home on Christmas vacation that she was all by herself in her home. I was at school at the time. And she told me about it when I came home. And that was, my dad travels in the jungles. And he takes a riverboat. And he goes into the different waterways in the swamps. And when she was all by herself there, she woke up in the middle of the night. And she felt something going across her arm. And there was no breeze. There was no ruffling of the leaves. The fan wasn't on. It was hot and muggy, and she felt an evil presence right in the bedroom. And the only person there besides my mother is a guard. We have an African guard that guards the station, our mission station. And she went over, and we have a lantern, a kerosene lantern, and she hurriedly got a match, and she lit the lantern, and she still felt evil, and then she felt something going across her arm, and she was awake. She wasn't sleeping. She was wide awake, and she said, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever this evil presence is, get out. And I wasn't there, but she told me about it, and she said it's a very evil thing to feel the presence of Satan in the bedroom. And even with me in my own experiences, I have felt evil in my bedroom. And many times my parents would come into the bedroom with me. I'd wake up and I'd go running into their bedroom, and I couldn't get to sleep because I would feel evil in our bedroom. And I would pray with my parents, and then they would pray with me, and I would go back to sleep. But we have seen evil where we are in demons. And before my parents came to the mission field, my dad found out when he was talking to the chief, one of the old-time chiefs there in the Congo, that every full moon, our mission station was used as a sacrifice with witch doctors. They would have chants every full moon, and they would sacrifice pygmies. And they look at pygmies as dogs, lower than Africans. And they would sacrifice pygmies every full moon to Satan, and weird things would happen. People would get bewitched, spells would be cast on people and stuff. So I've just seen it, and it's frightening. When he spoke about it, I just felt fear. So, but I know that we have a Savior, and I'm thankful for that. That's all.
When she talks about witch doctors, England has always had witches. Today, the number of witches is on the increase. Real witches, not funny, not jokes, real witches. And men are called wizards. They have their clubs and societies. Covens, which C-O-V-E-N is a name for a group of witches, covens of witches. And people your age, girls your age, will join for the kick of it and the fun of it. And suddenly they realize they're involved in something which is satanic and evil. And what is after is your soul. Witches who are, they sell their souls to Satan. Really, it is not just what they do. So that they can have powers and different authorities, but their souls are sold to Satan. In California, they don't call them witches, they call them lovers of the earth or something. The same idea. Only what, and all this has suddenly, the Congo, of course, has been there for ages. We knew that. And so has Ethiopia. These kind of things happening there were done long ago. But suddenly to find these things happening in, say, America or England, Satan, demons, witches, possessions. I was in Mount Hermon. Who knows where Mount Hermon is? California? At a conference there some time ago. And somebody there, somebody present, was possessed by a demon. A real, no joke, a real demon. And after night time, when people had gone, they went to a room. I didn't go. I was in my own place away there. And somebody, one of the men I know, went to watch, see what was done. And this person was there, an American, who was possessed by a demon. And the man who was watching suddenly realized, he said, now, if they're going to cast the demon out of this man, the demon is going to look for somebody else to come into. And so he immediately started praying to God to protect him and guard him. See, it's they sound like funny, scary stories, but they're real and true. That's been discussed many times, dear. I don't think a person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit can be indwelt with Satan or a demon. But they can be influenced. I was at a conference in Canada, a lot of years ago now. And somebody said to me, do you think the same question? I said, I don't see how they could be. Well, they said, well, see that young lady over there? She lives in our house. She's no relation. She just lives with us. And she's a Christian. She was a Christian. They said, she'll come into the room, and then after she comes into the room, the door will open again and close of itself. And then she'll be sitting, and a book will get off the table and go across and come down somewhere else. Only when she's around. And they said, nothing hurtful happens. It's just that you know there's somebody else there. And she's a Christian. She was in the meeting. But wherever she goes, these kinds of things happen. Now, she was not obviously possessed by a demon, but maybe influenced. I wouldn't know. I don't want to know too much about these things. All I'm doing is sharing with you so that what little information I give you will be sufficient to help you and guide you. And not to treat these things as a big joke. They're very, very real. Satan is real, and so are demons and all that business. And Patty Thomas says, here, sharing from Africa, like my son. Her dad did the same thing. My son was walking along a village he'd never been to before. It was dark, and suddenly a voice from a nearby kraal shouts out, man of God, go away, man of God, go away. But how did they know he was a man of God? Strange, strange, strange. One of Malcolm's people, too, they had a revival campaign amongst the Christians. And two women set out to do service for God. They went to a nearby village, and there was a man there possessed by a demon, and he was chained like an animal. And they tried to cast the demons out of this man. And the witch doctor came and set on them and scratched them, they were torn, their clothes were ripped, they had to run for their lives. All these things happen in Africa. Now, we expect them to happen in Africa. But these same things are happening in America now. Because God is dead and Satan is allowed to move in. When he moves in, he brings in the whole garbage of demons with him. And I've started praying myself for people whom I love. I use the phrase, angels at doors and windows, guarding them. Angels at doors and windows. The Bible teaches guardian angels. The Bible teaches that you have angels that guard you. You can't see them, but they're guarding you, protecting you. Well, let's move on now. I just used Patty as she was here, and she's had experience of this business. And incidentally, she wants to go back to the field as soon as she can. Malcolm has four children, all born in a leper hospital in Ethiopia, all waiting to go back to the mission field. See, it's so much easier for folks like Patty. She knows the language, she knows the culture, she knows the dress, everything. And when she goes back, she's so much advantage. And my grandkids are the same too. But it's a strange and an amazing world. Now, look with me in Isaiah chapter 14. We're talking now about rebellion. We're finding the beginning of rebellion. Isaiah and chapter 14. This isn't... Ezekiel was talking about a man. And now we have Ezekiel 14 and verse 12. You have a strange group of verses put in the Bible. I'm reading my version. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? The word Lucifer means the bright shining one. The bright shining one. How are you fallen from heaven, O bright shining one, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13. Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There's five I wills. Now, look back, keep that finger there. Look back to Ezekiel chapter 28 and check some more facts here. We'll come back to this fall of Satan. We looked at the beauty of Satan in verse 13. Verse 14, this is who he was. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now that's a description of Satan. The anointed cherub that covers upon the holy mountain. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now here's a question you should be asking yourself. If he was perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, and perfect in all his ways, how could iniquity come into a being that was created perfect? That's an interesting question, isn't it? It says so. Iniquity was found in him. Perfect in thy ways till iniquity was found in thee. This is a question which you should be pondering. How could a perfect being suddenly have iniquity within his being? There's only one answer I know to a question like that. And it's very simple, basically. It's simply this. Your brain would fit into my hand. It's about 3 pounds of grey jelly. Your brain is about 3 pounds of grey jelly. How can 3 pounds of grey jelly understand all the mind of God? Impossible. See, we live in one realm of thinking. God lives in a totally new realm, totally unknown to us. For example, when our Lord Jesus rose from the dead on that wonderful Easter Sunday, the disciples were all in the room full of fear. He suddenly came through the wall and stood in the midst. And they thought he was a ghost. He said, touch me. And he said, give me to eat. And he ate fish. He ate food. Now, how can anybody come through a wall and yet be solid and eat food? This is something beyond our thinking. We will have heavenly bodies like his in days to come when there won't be walls like this. You see, we have a human mind, And our human mind thinks in terms of human things. I sometimes feel it's like trying to explain to an ant how a television works. Well, you couldn't explain to an ant how a television works. Ants are very clever. They can do things we can't do. But an ant has no capacity for human reasoning. It can reason in an ant level. It can't reason in a human level. And we reason in human levels. We can't reason in divine levels. And Satan was created the most perfect of all God's beings. And how evil was found in him, I have no answer. All I can say is, there is something beyond my human brain. If I could understand things like that, I could understand God. I'd be as wise as God. And there are some things it's impossible to understand. Understanding, as Patty says, about demons and things they can do. Because witch doctors have demonic powers. They put curses on people and they die. They put curses on crops and the crops die. Put curses on trees and the trees die. These witch doctors have sold their souls to Satan and they have tremendous powers. I suppose there are people, I don't know the details in England or America, but there will be people who have powers like that now. People who are demonically ruled and governed. But here's this being we've just seen here. Notice, I wanted you to notice in chapter 28 and verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, walked up and down. Now come back to Isaiah chapter 14. This is the same being. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. You see, he was on the mountains of God. We've just seen in Ezekiel, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is where rebellion began. Satan had tremendous powers. He was the supreme created being that God had ever devised. He had enormous power and authority. And we say that power corrupts. And this is what happened here. He had all this power, all these angels who obeyed him, like a commander in chief. And just like you have in the Philippines with the premier there, the army chiefs want to take over from the premier. The rebels want to take over. Satan wanted to take over from God. I will be like the Most High. But thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now keep your finger there and look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 8. And you find a very unusual verse. Luke chapter 10 Our Lord is speaking, verse 18, Luke 10:18. Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They'd been casting out devils through the name of Jesus. Then our Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I was there when it happened. What you see in verse 15 of Luke 14, thou shalt be brought down to hell. Our Lord was there. He says, I saw it. I saw Satan, the bright shining one, like lightning, fall from heaven. And Satan was flung out of heaven. And with him went the angels who were on his side. He had supporting angels who were agreeing with him. They went with him. They are now the demons. The demons are the angels who supported Satan. And so you have two powers. You have God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, and all the angelic host. And you have this being who is called Satan, or the devil, or the old dragon, or the serpent, with his whole army of evil spirits, demons. And these are in the world today. This is the teaching of the Bible. Now, there was a time when people thought this was kind of fairy tale business. But nobody thinks that now. It's seen and it's real, what these people do here. That's the teaching of the Word of God here. And so I mentioned in England we have these witches. England is divided into church parishes. Every part of Britain has a parish with a parish church. And where Capenray, for example, the mother Capenray is in a country area. And they have little churches with a little graveyard around them for the people who died in the village. And it isn't reported every time, but quite often, witches will go to a graveyard belonging to a church. And they will stake out a satanic temple. And they'll dig up a skull from somebody who's buried there. And they'll have a worship of Satan in a hallowed... They always want to use hallowed ground. It's been dedicated to the service of God. And they go to these kind of places. And they have a satanic worship in a graveyard. This is today in England. Witches or wizards will go there. Then the next morning they find that this has been done and nobody knows who it is, and the ground has to be consecrated again to the use of God. See, there are a lot of things that you don't realize happening. If it scares you, remember the one thing that Patty was saying, the name of Jesus is the answer. One of my friends who was a missionary in the Congo, before your folks were there, Patty, he was out there and he went to a village and he saw a lot of men were going around with their right arm, the one that they fought with, all twisted up. And he asked why it was. They said, oh, the evil spirit who rules this place, these people wouldn't obey and he has twisted their arm. And he said, that's nonsense. It doesn't happen like that. And he was on his own, living out in this jungle area. And he said to me, he said, John, that the same night I went in my bunk bed to sleep. And as I was sleeping, I suddenly felt my arm beginning to twist up like this. And I couldn't stop it. It was twisting up like theirs was. And I dropped on my knees and I cried, oh, Jesus, blood of Jesus, save me. Blood of Jesus, guard me, guide me. He said, and my arm relaxed again. He said, I didn't tell those men it was nonsense again. It was real. What demons can do. Now, those that were once so loose in Africa and other places are busy in Britain and America, I suppose in Canada too. These strange societies that people have. Well, that is the teaching we've had. First session was the person and work of Satan. If you're taking titles, and the second session this evening was called The Fall of Satan. We've discussed that. Now, any questions anybody wants to ask about what we've said so far tonight? Or add anything to it that you know of, want to share with us? Like Patty was saying? Yep. How can you? How can you recognize a person? That's a good question. I think Patty gave you the signal. Tell her how you recognize them, Patty.
They look evil. Their eyes are outstandish. And it's hard to explain. You feel evil right there.
You feel it. That's right.
Evil.
It's the feeling. When you go near them, they may not have glaring eyes like she's saying, but you suddenly get a sense of... If you've never felt evil before, it's a strange feeling. It's evil where they are.
You
It isn't a smell. It isn't a taste. It isn't a sound. It's just a feeling that you can feel it within you. And if you're a Christian, you can recognize it. And she's going back there for some more of it. Well, the Lord will bless you, my dear. One hand up behind you. Somebody behind you had a hand up. No, right. Anybody else want to ask anything? These are the angels who were with Satan. When Satan rebelled against God, he had a whole host of angels behind him. And those are called fallen angels. They're called fallen angels who became demons. They're on his side. They're the servants of Satan. They aren't all. Satan isn't all powerful. He's not like God. See, God is omnipresent, omniscient. God is all powerful, knows everything. God is everywhere. Satan cannot be everywhere. He can only be in one place at a time. But he has angels who do his bidding. Just like he has an army. But all these were once in so-called pagan countries. But now Britain and America have become pagan countries. Very much so. Yes, Johnny. Now, the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus are the answers to all that. I think the most effective or sad story I heard, a mother said to me a couple of years ago in the Seattle area, you folks in Seattle. She came to me and she said, John, let me tell you about my son. And if you're ever teaching about Satan, and you can tell them this story. Her son was 18 And if you know about Easter time, down the coast of Florida, a lot of young college people go down to Florida's coast and they have a wild, wild, wild time. There's all kinds of wild things happening, drinking and lustful, oh, terrifying things. And Campus Crusade sends groups of people down there to witness and testify to these people. Well, this 18-year-old son of hers had gone down to witness to people who were in these groups. And he went to one group and witnessed about the Lord Jesus, and they listened and seemed very attentive. And the leader of this group was a boy his own age, 18. And he thought he was doing fine because they all listened. So they said, well, will you come and tell us more? So he agreed to, and he went with them later on, and they went to a satanic worship center. And they, now this, I would have thought this was impossible, but the mother told me it was true. They killed her son, and they cut out his heart, and they ate his heart, these group of people. And the 18-year-old boy was the leader. Then, of course, his body was found, and the police began to search, and they were all arrested for it. And the 18-year-old leader of this satanic group was the son of a Baptist pastor. His father was a Baptist minister, and when his parents found out that their son was a Satan worshipper and had been responsible for the death of this 18-year-old boy, that his parents were crushed beyond words. And the mother said to me, I feel so sorry for the mother of that boy. I've been to her. I know where my son is. My son is with the Lord Jesus. But this boy is in prison. And I've been to his parents and I've tried to comfort his parents. And I said, how did it happen? How could he be like this? They said, well, we didn't realize he was receiving junk mail. He had answered an advert about wizards or something like that. And he'd got some mail about that. And he'd answered asking for more mail. And he got more mail coming to him, which his parents didn't even trouble to look at, which was teaching him all satanic practices. And when he became able in the use of satanic practices, people came round him and they became his band. And they were on the shores in Florida, looking for someone like this boy who came along. And I said to his mother, I assure you, well, it's my son. And the boy who did it is in prison. And the other's got prison sentences too. I said to her, in America, in days like this, this kind of thing happens. Satan worship. And round Mount Hermon in California, there are a lot of canyons. And these canyons, I've been to Mount Hermon many times. And people used to go to enjoy the beauty of these canyons. Now, people keep out of them now because all kinds of sacrifices, groups of people are there. The police don't go unless there's any trouble. It's strange, strange, strange. And I was talking to this group of pastors I mentioned the other before at Mount Hermon. And one man was a chaplain. And he said, John, I've just seen the saddest thing in the whole of my life. I've just come from the hospital in San Jose. Who knows where San Jose is? You've been there, right? So he said, I've just come from the hospital. He said, perhaps you didn't see it in the paper, but he said, last week, two boys were missing. Nobody knew where they were. And what had happened was this: two boys, both 16 years old, taking drugs and trying to get in touch with evil spirits. They found a deserted building. And these two boys, this is a true story, went into this deserted building and they had their drugs and they asked the demons to come and to possess them. And they got themselves sitting cross-legged with their arms like, cross your legs and sit like this to be possessed by these demons. And one of the boys, his drugs wore off fairly soon. And he got up and he went back home. And he left his friend there. And he forgot about his friend until he heard that the police were looking for this missing boy. So he told the police where the boy was. And when they went for this boy, he'd been sat cross-legged for several days and had cut off the flow of blood to his legs. And the chaplain said, I've just come from this boy. He's had both his legs amputated and he's 16 years old. And he said he is lying in bed, sobbing his heart out, crying his heart out, sobbing his heart out, lost both his legs from the hips downwards. Just because he played with drugs and invoked the power of Satan and demons to come and possess him. And he says, some of these kids, they ask for trouble. They don't know what they're playing with in satanic power. These are real things we're talking about in this day and generation. Now, once, that would never have happened in America, except with the Indians maybe, but not with white people. But now, because of the doors being wide open for Satan, he can come in. And that's the way things go. So that is the teaching we've had on the person of Satan, and just now, the fall of Satan. Now, look with me in John's Gospel, chapter 8. Words of our Lord. John chapter 8. Verse 42. Or look back to 41. Our Lord is having a discussion with the Jews. Or come back to verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abram is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abram's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of lies. That's the teaching of our Lord Jesus, challenging these Jews, you're of your father the devil, implying that they were not responding to God. Now, look in the same book, chapter 12. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The prince of this world. Look at chapter 14, same book. Chapter 14, John's Gospel, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Chapter 16. Verse 8, talking of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, 16, verse 8. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now the prince of this world, three references there, is Satan. It isn't Christ. It's Satan. Our Lord called him the prince of this world. We're going to find tomorrow how Satan became the prince of this world. A title, the prince of this world. Now, we have time to start tomorrow's session just now. Look with me in Genesis chapter 1. Let's find the world as God made it now. When you look in chapter 1 of Genesis, there is no rebellion in chapter 1. There is nothing against God at all in chapter 1. It begins in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the end of chapter 1 says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There's no rebellion in chapter 1. There is no rebellion in chapter 2. But Genesis chapter 3 is where the message tomorrow will come in. We'll call tomorrow's message the invasion of planet Earth. So we are set to come tomorrow evening for chapter 3, the invasion of planet Earth. How Satan, who had been cast out of heaven with all these angelic beings behind him, comes now to move in and destroy God's relationship with man, as told us in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. I leave that till tomorrow because it's a whole new section of teaching. So we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll just leave it now. Thank you, Father, for the amazing teaching of your word. We realize the reality of Satan. And I pray for these folk here, Lord. Some of them are too young to have ever known a time when this kind of thing didn't happen in this country. But it does now. I pray above all that they may be delivered from fear. Let them not be afraid tonight. And if they do feel fear, may they realize the wondrous power of the name of Jesus. By claiming your presence, you said, Lord, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let us claim your presence and your power. Help us to know your presence and your power. Bless these words we've shared together, as Patty has spoken of her experiences too. And as she prepares to go back, Lord, guide and prepare her heart to go back to this terrifying field where evil is so prominent. We pray for her parents too in all that they're doing. And for all others who are facing situations like this. So take our thanks for a lovely, wonderful day. And bless us now in the balance of this day as we give you thanks for all your goodness. Asking all through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.